Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Now, Wagner leader Yevgeny Prigozhin has posted an 11-minute audio message this afternoon in his first comments since the halting of the mutiny in Russia. In his 11-minute video message, he says that the aim of the march was to avoid destruction of Wagner and to hold to account the officials who had made mistakes during Russia's special military operation, as he called it. I'm joined on the line now by Yuri Sack, advisor to the Ukrainian Defence Minister. Yuri, you're very welcome back to the programme. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Good evening, Cormac.
The events, I'll certainly speak about the counter-offensive and how it's going in Ukraine, but let me ask you about events in Russia over the weekend. It startled people, and now we have this 11-minute message from Yevgeny Prigozhin. What is your reaction? What is your take on all of that?
Well, you know, I suppose as the rest of the world, we are baffled by what has happened in Russia because it is not very easy to understand actually what happened, because it all began as a very serious military coup and uprising, and the president of Russia delivered a statement saying that these are traitors and they will be brought to account. And the Wagner terrorist group shot down military helicopters and killed pilots and was 2 hours away from Moscow. So for 24 hours, it looked like, you know, something really, really major was going to happen. And then it just flopped. Without any plausible explanation. Mm-hmm. And if we look at where it started, and it started with a fake video of the allegedly missile attack by the Russian army on the terrorist group Wagner camps in forests. So it's you know, this situation leaves more questions than answers. And for us, one thing I would like to make very clear, for us, for Ukraine, every participant of that charade is a war criminal and a terrorist. And we are focused on the front lines. We are focused on making sure that we defeat Russia on the battlefield. And sooner or later, we will bring all of them to justice for the war crimes and atrocities they have committed on our land.
Because you still have the most important thing to do in protecting the citizens and the territory of your country. So no matter what happens in Russia the weekend, startling as it may be, that job you have doesn't stop. But I wonder, in your opinion, does it make Vladimir Putin weaker?
We'll see what happens. For sure, it does send the message even to the Russian people that you know, there is a state of chaos in their leadership. There is interspecies infighting between the different factions of this terrorist regime. I think there are cracks in the leadership of that terrorist state. And of course, I mean, this way or the other, it does make Russia overall, I think, weaker. And whatever makes Russia weaker at this stage makes us stronger and will eventually bring our victory closer.
Because the Wagner group were seen as probably the most effective grouping on the Russian side, let's say, and if they're taken out of the equation, you would hope that it would make Ukraine's efforts a lot easier. But have they gone away? Have they left the fight in Ukraine altogether?
Well, we have confusing reports from the front line. They have been leaving the positions in the east of Ukraine in particular for, you know, about 2 weeks ago. And whether they have left completely, we'll still have to see. But I'd like to stress that while on the one hand, of course, the terrorists from Wagner Group, because they had the experience of fighting around the world, they are probably one of the most capable part of the Russian forces, but at the same time, it is the Wagner group that was unable to gain control of even the city of Bakhmut in 10 months, and they've lost tens of thousands of people. So we already have experience of beating them on the battlefield. So maybe, I mean, just maybe, this was a very convenient way for these terrorists to get out of this meat grinder, because, you know, sooner or later they will be all destroyed. They would have been destroyed. So Prigozhin is a terrorist driven by financial profit. So he probably thought to himself that, you know, better leave now than then lose all of his troops on the battlefield and pretty much have his startup bankrupt.
Mm-hmm. The fight goes on, as you say, Yuri. The U.S. today announcing that it will help. It's bringing forward a new military aid package for Ukraine. They say worth up to $500 million. They stand shoulder to shoulder with Ukraine, they say. How is the counteroffensive going?
The counteroffensive is going difficult because Russians have had time to dig in, to create very strongly fortified defense lines, and because Russians continue to have, of course, the air superiority along the front line. And this is a very long front line, bear in mind. It's over 900 kilometers. But at the same time, Ukrainian army is moving forward. We have been able to reclaim more than 130 square kilometers of our land in the south of Ukraine. Actually, today there was an announcement by the general staff of the Ukraine's armed forces that we have taken control of another city of Ravnopol. It's a small town of Ravnopol in the south of Ukraine. And of course, it was occupied by the terrorists since 2022. So little by little, we're moving forward, and you know, we haven't committed our major forces yet. So we're quietly optimistic. You know, we see that Russians are demoralized. They have, in the last week, they have taken 8 times more losses in killed in action than our side. We have destroyed a lot of their military equipment, tanks, armored vehicles, heavy artillery. And, you know, we have every day, we have more footage of Russian soldiers surrendering because they're overpowered by the Ukrainian army, because we are more determined. We are fighting for our survival. We are fighting for our future. Mm-hmm. And nobody understands, and I think, including Russian soldiers, what they are fighting for.
And I just wonder if Russian soldiers saw what happened in Russia with the Wagner group advancing as quickly, as easily as they did. I wonder, will that demoralize them further?
Cormac, Russia has proven once again that they're a country of cowardly terrorists and backstabbing traitors. And I think that this does send a message across the Russian troops that, you know, they have always been used by their leadership, you know, on the battlefield and beyond. So I'm sure that their trust in their military leadership is shaken. Pretty confident that they will be demoralized by these events, and you know, there are cracks not just in Russia's political leadership, but I'm sure these cracks will appear on the in their ranks on the battlefield as well.
President Zelensky, Yuri, visiting soldiers in Donetsk today, I think, where he's hoping, I'm sure, to bolster the morale, which you say is good, of Ukraine soldiers. I'm reading in the New York Times as well that the Wagner groups, if their future is in doubt with Russia, that Ukraine could capitalize on all of this chaos. I mean, is that something that Ukraine is will attempt to do?
Cormac, we will use every opportunity that we find in order to liberate more of our lands and protect our people. No matter how small that opportunity is, you know, we have very capable military command. They have proven time and again that they are good at planning and military strategizing. So, and this situation, of course, is no exception. If it makes, like I said, if it makes, and it will make Russia weaker, we will, of course, factor that into our military planning, and hopefully that will translate in more gain for us on the battlefield.
Can I ask you finally then, Mr. Sack, that you mentioned, and I mentioned, sorry, the military, the new military aid package from America, but what about the European Union and other Western allies, international partners that you may have? Is there enough help forthcoming, be it militarily or any other way?
We receive a lot of help from our allies. You know, some countries are naturally able to provide us with more help, some with less. But overall, it's a very, very consistent supply of military assistance. And of course, this takes into account the fact that this is the most intense war since the end of the Second World War. So, and if you ask the soldiers in the trenches, they will always tell you that it's never enough. You know, it's thousands of artillery shells are fired a day on both sides. Military equipment gets damaged, sometimes destroyed. So this military assistance is vital. But I'd like to stress one other thing. Mm-hmm. Very soon there will be a NATO summit in Vilnius. And it is very important that in addition to direct military assistance, with weapons, the NATO allies, we hope, will send a very clear message to Ukraine and to the world that Ukraine's future is firmly as fully fledged member of NATO alliance, because this is the only way Ukraine can be safe and Europe can be safe.
Okay, well, Jens Stoltenberg of NATO is talking about Russian weakness today, but let's see what he says about full membership for Ukraine. It's been good to talk to you again. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Yuri Sack, advisor to the Ukrainian Defence Minister.